Welcome back. It's a Monday, the 27th day of November, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Call, and I hope everybody had a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving Day weekend and resisted all of the programming and outright, well, lies is the only proper way to put it, folks, from the Waystream Media, trying to get you to believe that this holiday isn't about thanking a God they don't even want in the public schools, much less the government, for blessings they've been working so hard to see destroyed. Or people that once held that there were actually certain self-evident truths. They call them domestic violent extremists, and anybody who believes such things is a white supremacist nowadays, regardless of what religion or color you may be. But of course, so is math, algebra, and English 101. Don't even think about history. And I guess, folks, we should talk about this again right off the top, because it certainly encapsulates so many things that are going on this Monday after the Thanksgiving Day weekend, where the imposter president, arguably for the first time in American history, although I guess since he wasn't really elected anyway, it shouldn't count, but regardless, he gave a quote-unquote Thanksgiving Day message that omitted any reference to the God of the Bible or even faith in him. But evidently, it's still important to have faith in a nation that doesn't have any faith in him. And ironically, folks, maybe this is a good thing, when I look for the text of that message on Monday morning, it seems to have been expunged from the search engines and the web for the most part, in favor of a live call-in that did get wall-to-wall coverage from the Waystream Media by the Biden fake and his service dog wife, who keeps him from running into walls sometimes, to the Macy's Transgender Day Parade, where the Biden viewers, or at least his handlers, told those who had gathered together to worship at the altar of, well, anything un-American, quote, "On this Thanksgiving Day, Al, we have to come together." Whether you like it or not, folks, you know, we can have different political views, well, at least, but not if you want to stay out of prison, folks. But we have one view, he said. You ready, folks? Tell us what the one view must be, Mr. Fuhrer. Quote, "The one view is we are the finest, greatest nation in the world," unquote. And obviously, that means their job isn't finished yet. As one of Biden's puppet masters, Barry Sabarco himself, put it, this is no longer a Christian nation, and by the time they're finished, it may not even be a nation anymore, much less the greatest, or even first world at the rate they're going. So let's go there next. And one of the things, folks, that I'm serious about, we can give thanks for the fact that just as Scripture promises, those things that have been hidden are now being revealed. The fact that a lot of people don't like it, and some people who have denied it are having to wake up to the bitter reality, doesn't make it any less important. Or any less true. It just means that there are a whole lot of people going to have to deal with something they've been trying to ignore, and better that they wake up now than, say, freeze to death, or starve, or take another Zyklon B injection and die of some turbo cancer. There's been another warning of imminent blackouts, or at least brownouts, this month, not that it's getting much coverage outside of the energy industry itself, or some of the alternative press. Although you'd think the leftists would be all over it, because it does sound like another major victory for the forces of, literally, darkness. A power grid operator in the Mid-Atlantic has warned that the planned shutdown of a coal-fired power plant, yep, they succumbed to the pressure, could affect the electrical supply, or it's supposed to, folks, to millions of Americans, ultimately perhaps resulting in a total blackout. PJM Interconnection, the company that manages wholesale electricity for 65 million Americans in 13 states on the East Coast, said they expect the planned shutdown of the Brandon Shores coal power plant in Pennsylvania to disrupt power. The plant owner, Talon Energy, recently struck a deal with the so-called environmentalist group Sierra Club to cave and deactivate the plant by 2025. Oh, Big Brother's got their fingerprints all over this, too. Don't ignore that for a second. To reduce booga, booga, booga carbon dioxide outputs, and yeah, they are still trying to get you to believe this crap, fight climate change. But the deal could be better for residents who probably are going to suffer as a result. Jeff Shields, spokesperson for PJM Interconnect, told Fox News that their region and the state of Maryland are facing future reliability challenges, do you think, as a result of the announced retirement of the Brandon Shores units. Specifically, PJM analyses showed that the deactivation of the Brandon Shores units would cause severe voltage drop and thermal violations across 7 PJM zones, which could lead to a widespread reliability risk in Baltimore and immediate surrounding areas. And as a result of the shutdown, there could be an imbalance in the local power grid, causing blackouts for millions. The plant generates about 1,295 megawatts, enough to power more than 8 million homes, unless more of them buy EVs, of course. And even though there can maybe, if the grid can handle it, be power transfers from other areas, the upgrades required to do this won't be finished until 2028, which is 3 years after Big Brother and its minions intend to shut Brandon Shores down. So if you still live on the East Coast, or for that matter, are even connected to the power grid, look for some dark winters ahead. And this is really telling, folks. Maryland Socialist Governor Wes Moore called for the state's increasingly unreliable power grid to be entirely powered by green energy by 2035. Said Carter Elliott, spokeslayer for Moore, the governor remains committed, quote, to a vision for Maryland's future that includes 100% clean energy, unquote. Trouble is, it's just 100% of a whole lot less than they have now. By the way, folks, I've got a whole stack of stories here about the pseudoscience masquerading as man-made global climate change BS. Here's one of them from Zero Hedge and the DailySkeptic.org. You can't see the graphs, and one of these days I'll put together a major report on it. But it says three graphs to show that there is no climate change. Those that have been paying attention already know that, but it's always important to see the actual data as opposed to the crap they try to push down your throats courtesy of the criminally negligent networks. And remember, the reason they say that math is an aspect of white supremacism is because even simple math will show exactly what it is they're trying to feed you and why you shouldn't swallow it. That can't be allowed. Here's another one entitled, Coming Soon, How Your Travel Will Be Restricted by Personal Carbon Allowances. Oh yeah, don't think for a second they haven't got a plan to control the serfs by saying, you breathe too much and we intend to stop that. Oh yeah, don't even think about getting on a plane. And it occurs to me, some of us may even remember when there were commercials on TV that said, now you're cooking with gas. Well, pretty soon, you won't be able to cook at all, much less even stay warm with gas. And as I make that comment, it occurs to me, thankfully this isn't the case with most of the listeners here, but so many Americans don't even realize why that's a problem, because they think electricity, well, doesn't grow on trees. Those are bad now anyway, because, you know, carbon just comes from the sun, and all you got to do is just be green and think happy thoughts, and then you don't have to worry about it. Till you freeze to death, that is. Switching gears now, the invasion continues apace. Over 700 illegals, says a piece from David Grayson at the Gateway Pundit, have walked across the open border into just one little place in Arizona, Lukeville, over just a few hours over the weekend. Joe Biden's America, says the headline. In just a few hours Friday afternoon, 700 illegal invaders made their way across the open border at Oregon Pipe National Monument near Lukeville, crossing illegally, said John Fabricatori, a retired ICE field director and now Republican congressional candidate in Colorado. The line is growing and over a quarter mile long. Says the story, Lukeville, Arizona has become a major port of entry for illegal aliens to cross across into the U.S. Border Patrol here is overwhelmed with a continuous flow of illegals and no end in sight. And according to a Customs and Border Protection SICK report, there were just shy of 270,000 migrant encounters, isn't that a quaint way to put it, at the southern border in September, making it the highest single month ever recorded. Well, until next month, that is. And that wrapped up the fiscal year with almost 2.5 million encounters, the highest annual total ever recorded in a single year so far. And as you probably know, folks, and the Highland County Press, among others, has reported, the numbers vary, but they all have lots of zeros. Most, though, agree that over 10 million illegal alien invaders have entered the United States since the Biden Fuhrer stole the office in January 2021. By the way, here's a quick related story. Congressman Andy Biggs spoke to the Gateway Pundit Monday morning before the House voted on articles of impeachment. Hey, what do you bet you know how that's going to come out? Against the scumbag masquerading as Secretary of Homeland Acting Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. And during that interview, Biggs revealed new information from a classified meeting that said, well, we know this, more than 2 million illegals have crossed into the United States across the open border, and the FedGov simply has no idea who they are. They could be Hamas terrorists, he said, Chinese spies, drug lords, other foreign bad actors. We simply don't know. And the truth, folks, is almost certainly all of the above. But Congressman Biggs also noted that he was the first person to, quote, sponsor an impeachment resolution. I sponsored a second resolution and signed on to every resolution, as far as I know. This guy, meaning the scumbag Mayorkas, has, quote, basically changed the culture of the United States of America. He's changed the geography of the United States. Then he talked about what a failed state looks like. Well, the first thing that goes into a failed nation, he continued, is to lose control of your geographical integrity. We've done that. We've lost control. This guy is the architect for that. You've got people that are dying, I tell you. You know what? You go down there. If you've been down there, Jordan, you know it's an absolute disaster. And in Arizona right now, what we're seeing happening at our border is worse than it's ever been. So this guy shouldn't be holding any job of any kind of responsibility. And then he goes on to talk about the various laws he's broken. And, of course, the fact that he put his hand on the Bible and lied about supporting the Constitution and laws is another reason to get rid of the scumbag. And how about this one, he concluded? You've got 1.5 million people who have removal orders or deportation orders given to them after they've already had, even though some of them waited for years, their so-called due process in American courts. He's told them, don't look for them, don't remove them. And that, said Biggs, is the idiocy of what's happening. And I think he's, again, folks, being a bit too kind. It's not idiocy, it's evil, and it's intentional. And don't kid yourself for a minute that this isn't the goal, to destroy the once-free United States of America in every single way they possibly can. Oh, yeah, and you know it, don't you? The rhino's caved, and there's nothing being done about impeachment of that scumbag either. Surprise, surprise, surprise! The goodies are free, folks. Come on in and get them, because they ain't going to last long. And, oh, yeah, before we move on, one more story from the Tucson sector, where Border Patrol has paused its socialist media activity on Sunday amid that record surge of illegal invaders. Quote, in light of all the ongoing migration surge, said the scumbag masquerading as chief there, all Tucson sector Border Patrol social media accounts will be paused until further notice. We appreciate your understanding and continued support during this continued challenging invasion, time. Honor first, said what? Said John Modlin, chief patrol agent at the Tucson sector, who's in charge of 3,600 agents and staff, and who knows how many more times that of illegal invaders. And this would be funny if it wasn't so treasonous. Apologies, he wrote later, for my earlier hostility with my written statement. To be clear, it's my intention to remain transparent. In light of the ongoing migration surge, all of the Tucson Sector Border Patrol socialist media accounts will be temporarily reduced so that they can maintain available staffing in support of current operational challenges. Translation? We're too busy processing invaders to even bother to tell you about it, and we certainly don't want you to see the videos. Speaking of which, one of the things they really didn't want people to see, and they almost got away with it, were the Capitol videos on the Fed Surrection Day of January the 6th. On Friday, Twitter user Mr. Reagan posted, after having looked through part of the tens of thousands of hours that are, still not out there, but at least a tiny fraction of them are, part of that reposted video. In this case, it's video showing Capitol Police, I hope you're sitting down, folks, literally shoving an elderly woman down the set of stairs outside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. And he asked it as a question. Did the Capitol Police intentionally antagonize J6 protesters? Well, the answer seems to be obvious. You got video here of an officer brutally shoving an old lady down concrete stairs in this footage. He asks, what do you think? The Gateway Pundit reported on this horrific police abuse earlier in the year, back in March, and it turns out that the video shows the Capitol Police actually pushed this woman down a flight of stairs twice. And according to our sources, says TGP, this brutal display of police abuse was among the things, including stun grenades and rubber bullets, that ignited the crowd to finally push back a bit. And arguably, that would be also just as intended. Says TGP, this is why police and the feds did what they did. It was exactly what they wanted. It was all planned, organized, and played out perfectly. Which leads me finally to this one. And here, folks, is a story we've all known for, well, ever since the election was rigged and the Biden Fuhrer took over, that it was coming. And since we know the why, it's important we understand the how. The Biden Fuhrer und his cronies in the White House, says a piece from Zero Hedge, courtesy of the Gun Owners of America, have cooked up yet another new unconstitutional gun control rule that the anti-constitutional ATF will enforce. At gunpoint, of course, since you won't be allowed to have them. ATF's trying to eliminate the private sale of firearms without background checks. In other words, Big Brother, just like the Mark of the Beast, wants to make sure that no one will be allowed to buy or sell that single thing which the Constitution, back when we had it, said shall not be infringed. And what this is showing is that now that they've infringed it and gotten away with it, well, let's put a wooden stake in it and go the rest of the way. And it's all about registration and getting the required paperwork so that when they come to get them, they'll know right where they are. And think about it. By asking permission, you've already given permission for them to come and change their mind and take them away. They're essentially accusing anyone who sells or even gives away a gun of being, quote, engaged in the business of dealing in firearms. And therefore, you require a federal gun dealer license. Now, here's where I'm going to part company with GOA, because while they do a good job, you could say majoring in the minors, they're overlooking the one essential fact here, which is there's no lawful reason for this agency to even exist. Their very purpose is antithetical to the Bill of Rights. And there is nothing about buying or selling firearms, period, that the central government has any authority whatsoever to so much as say anything about. And how it shall not be infringed that is even remotely constitutional. But once you tread down this path, where it's headed is not only obvious, but inevitable. So, forgetting the elephant in the room, let's go back to the story and see what peanuts it's tromping on. Because even that, of course, is pretty damning. And if you don't recognize the bigger picture, folks, at least the smaller one might resonate a bit. You might think, they say, that you'd actually have to meet some sort of threshold of number of firearms sold in order to require a license. Hit that benchmark and you're no longer just a lemonade stand on the side of the road. Remember, folks, commerce is commerce, and we see little kids, 5 years old, being told you can't sell lemonade without a license either. Why are we surprised? Anyway, you must obey the regulations. In 1979, says the piece, the ATF decided against establishing a threshold number on the theory that gun-owning patriots, who actually believed shall not be infringed, should mean something like that, would just simply stay below that threshold so that they could avoid obtaining the Big Brother-issued license. Which is a bit like saying, they note correctly in this case, that it would be a bad idea to post a speed limit because drivers might actually try to go below the speed limit. The problem is, in this case, the limit itself is entirely anti-constitutional. Let's not forget that. Instead, ATF's new rule says, you will not be allowed to sell even one gun to your family, for example, without getting a government license and filling out the proper registration paperwork. And the ATF also thinks you would be engaged in the business even if you haven't ever actually acquired or sold so much as a single firearm. Because, folks, let's cut to the chase. Slaves don't have rights. Slaves must have permission to do anything, including buying or selling any property, even if once upon a time the Constitution said shall not be infringed. Slaves not only don't have rights, slaves certainly can't own property. And that especially means guns. And if you start there, ask yourself the obvious question. Then what else can you own? Hint, it ends up in the very same place as you already knew. Nothing. You'll own nothing. And they've already told you that, haven't they? And here's where I'll part company even a bit further with the story, because they ask kind of a stupid question. Does ATF have any legal footing to stand on? Well, no, they shouldn't even exist. But given that we don't have a constitution, now what? Well, let's take a look at the statute, unconstitutional as it is, they say. The definition in there is someone who is, quote, engaged in the business as applied to a dealer in firearms. I'm not going to read this crap. Shall not be infringed basically says that's exactly what it is. Unless, of course, you submit to another master, or as Jefferson once put it, a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and laws, and agree to trade essential liberty for a little temporary security, or as the Bible puts it, trade your birthright for a cup of pottage. So I'll say what they don't really quite come out and say. That is, if they ignore the Constitution, if they obviously don't pay any attention to the shall not be infringed part, what makes you think they're going to pay any attention to a so-called statute either? Whereupon they go on to prove to you, well, they aren't. Color me shocked. Now they show at least six different ways in which the ATF, one more time, is lying through their damnable teeth when they claim now the rules mean exactly what we want them to mean. Nothing less and maybe a whole hell of a lot more. A, the statute discusses firearms in the plural, so where do they get off saying it's now just one? Item B, the term regular course in the statute means a series of events demonstrating that some activity is occurring, present tense, continuing. Yeah. How about repetitive? That clearly means more than once, so it's kind of tough to say, nope, repetitive just means once now. Item C in the list of continued violations of even statutes. Actual dealers must purchase and resell firearms. Oops, now forget that one. A resale is something more than a sale, and it's done simultaneously. Well, again, the words mean what we say they should mean, nothing more, nothing less. And since infringe doesn't mean that, why are you surprised? Finally, the statute exempts non-business, quote, sales, exchanges, or purchases in the plural. Now, what does it mean to be non-business? Used to be, folks, that meant non-commercial. You're not engaged in something for a profit. A profit in terms of what? Oh, yeah, unconstitutional, anti-constitutional even, fiat bucks. Dishonest weights and measures, which puts you in a whole different choice of law. That is a huge can of worms. Don't forget it. And really, it's right at the heart of this entire great big stinking lie. But since you're a slave, that doesn't apply either. Who could have guessed it, they said. The Biden-Führer's ATF is totally overreaching, again, with this latest new rule made out of nothing. The plain text, even of the statute, unconstitutional as it is, proves that at least in six ways to Sunday, ATF's final rule is yet another load of crap. All I got to say about this, folks, is tell me again why we're surprised. Now, after a story like that, I do think it's particularly important to remind ourselves that Thomas Jefferson and the rest of the founders, but Jefferson nailed it, were particularly aware of exactly where all of this would ultimately go, which was why the Bill of Rights, and in particular the Second Amendment, was put in there anyway. Franklin said we would ultimately fall to despotism. Jefferson described how, and here was his comment concerning the Constitution and the reason why the Bill of Rights is even there. Quote, I consider the foundation of the Constitution is laid on this ground, that all powers, and he's quoting, all powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states or to the people. And that, of course, became the Tenth Amendment. But here's the clincher. The quote continues, to take a single step beyond the boundaries thus specifically drawn around the powers of Congress is to take possession of a boundless field of power no longer susceptible to any definition. And as the unconstitutional three-letter standing armies have now demonstrated, we're there. And let's not forget this, too. He was referring to the creation of a national bank, but think about it. That's precisely how we got here, isn't it? Well, it looks like we ran out of time for today, so that'll do it. But remember who you serve, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.